Some things are just better together. Chips and salsa, sports and friends, Breezeline internet and mobile service. Get lightning fast gig internet and a free month when you order online. You'll also enjoy a free mobile line for an entire year. No hidden fees, just nationwide mobile coverage and reliable fiber-powered internet with a free modem and Wi-Fi. Everything you need at home or on the go for video chatting, gaming, working, and more. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Visit breezeline.com today.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Dublin City Council is not buying properties much. It's in fact leasing them, and this is a matter of some concern. Someone writing about all of this is Leisha Nealon, city reporter with the Dublin Inquirer. She's in studio with me, as is Keane O'Callaghan, TD for Dublin Bay North and Social Democrat spokesperson on housing. Good morning and welcome to you both. So, Leisha, what's going on in Dublin City Council? I mean, presumably they have a budget to buy property, so it's theirs in perpetuity, and they can lease it to their tenants as they wish forever.
Yeah, absolutely. They do, and they do purchase some homes, but the other councils outside of Dublin will be purchasing a lot more because a lot of the homes that are being built in Dublin are coming in over the price caps of what they're allowed to spend on homes. And I think it's around 475,000 for a two bed is the most that they can purchase for.
So there's very little available at that price.
There's very little available at that price because the most of what's being built is built to rent, and the owner of that would be hoping to get a lot of rent for that over the duration of the next 25 to 40 years that they're renting it out for. So
we have a Part 5 obligation on the part of any developer. So what happens to the Part 5 obligation if it's all built to rent? Does the council then have to just pay the rent to the developer?
It can purchase homes in built to rent, it says, in built to rent complexes. But in general, this year so far, it's not doing that. Out of the 49 Part 5s this year, 48 of them are leases, so it only bought one. So it's because the price of the homes are just too high. The Part 5 discount isn't as good in Dublin City Council as it would be, because it's based on there's a formula for it, but it's based on the existing use value. Yeah. So if it was already zoned residential land, the council doesn't get as much of a discount compared to if it was going from agricultural or industrial land over to
Okay, so because it's being built within the city confines, it's either it's certainly brownfield site, it's not greenfield site, and it had some previous usage and therefore value. So the council, because of the restrictions, cannot afford to buy these properties, so therefore it's in thrall to a landlord for, what, a 20-year contract?
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is that the leasing is also really expensive, so it's even worse value. In the sense that they'll still spend the 600,000 over the 25 years, but then at the end they won't own the property. So it's actually even worse value than just buying the flat for 600,000 in the first place, if you know what I mean.
Now, is Dublin City Council kicking up about this, saying either the prices are too high, the discount's not great enough, or we need to raise the cap?
No, they're saying that they also have leasing targets to meet under the government's housing strategy, Housing for All. They do have targets for building homes, and they also have targets for leasing homes. So they said they're happy enough that this comes under their leasing targets.
Mm. Now, they would prefer to buy if they could afford to buy, but so little is being built for sale. Most of it's being built to rent. And the councillors, they are opposed to all of this build to rent stuff. And ordinary people are, because they think it's crazy that people in their own cities would be paying rent to sometimes domestic landlords, but often overseas landlords, forever and a day, and no property available to buy in their own cities. The councillors want to change that, but the planning regulator, for some reason, is opposed to the councillors restricting the number of build-to-rents.
Yeah, absolutely. And the chief executive of Dublin City Council and the council planners are concerned about the dominance of build-to-rent. You know, it's not a balanced form of development, because almost all of what is being built is build-to-rent. That's the problem. If there was some build-to-rent, it might be fine. But there's nothing going to be coming on stream for homeowners in Dublin City Council area in the next few years. So the crisis of home ownership will worsen probably.
Did you get to talk to the planning regulator to find out his logic in all of this? What's his name? Cousins?
I've had some back and forth with their press department. It's quite complicated. They're saying that they don't agree with the way in which the council is trying to curtail the build-to-rent. They said that the council should stipulate an amount of build-to-rent in a given area, in a given square kilometre or whatever, and that they could use that to refuse planning applications within that area. But this was tried before with student housing, where there was a thing around an over-prevalence of student housing, and it never really worked. That, you know, it hasn't worked as a methodology. So the council wants to bring it in that the developments should be mixed, and that some of them should be built to the high, some 60% of the apartments should be built to the higher standard.
It is baffling that they decide that people who are going to rent for the rest of their lives should be renting inferior properties, you know, single aspect properties. That has always baffled me since it came about. Why would you actually allow any developer to build to a lower standard?
I don't understand it either. I mean, some of these places don't have balconies. Some of them don't meet basic requirements for daylight. So like daylight, natural daylight is essential to physical and mental health. Everyone knows that. Yeah. And a lot of these apartments aren't going to meet daylight. So it's just
bad. And by the way, the idea of having, a limit on student housing around universities and colleges seems daft, because we need more and more of that. That's appropriate and earmarked permanently to be student accommodation. That's a good idea. So if you start putting densities in around colleges, that would have a counterproductive argument. Whereas when you, in the general population, you've built a rent, you're almost designing communities not to exist, because renters are transient by definition. So you won't have communities.
Yeah, and you won't have home ownership. So what happens then when people retire?
Cian, you're anxious to come in on these topics.
Just to make a point, in terms of build to rent, that was lobbied for very heavily by a section of developers and kind of speculative developers. And they said if you bring in these lower standards, it will make renting more affordable. Now, the opposite actually happened. That didn't transpire. Rents have gone up significantly since these lower standards came in.
Why are governments and ministers so easily conned by the developers?
I don't know, but it happens.
You'd think they'd learn from experience.
You would, but it happens time and again. We've had over the last number of years, we've had a succession of lower standards brought in, each time with the promise that this will make housing more affordable, and the opposite happens. Actually, what happens is when you bring in those lower standards, and when an investor can make a bigger return from that plot of land, the price of that land then goes up and they sell it on with that increased inflated value. So actually what happens a lot of the time is you're not getting housing because of this, you're getting lower standards lobbied for, you're getting sites flipped, you're getting planning permissions with higher numbers of units achieved and more sites flipped, and then the next owner tries to maximise more returns from that. So none of that has been working, and it is, built to rent is very much dominating in Dublin City now. We've 82% of planning permissions are now built to rent, and that is squeezing out people who want to be able to buy.
How was that allowed to happen?
It shouldn't be allowed.
Who had their eyes closed? Was it the planning department in Dublin City Council allowing build to rent, or did the developers just go to build and then towards the latter end of the building stage decide, I'm going to rent all these. There's a nice little earner for me here. I'm not going to sell them. Is that what happened?
And to be fair to the City Council, these standards have come in at a national level, and the City Council is actually trying to fight back against them, and the planning regulator is telling them that.
But in terms of build to rent, I'm wondering, did they start off as all of them as build to rent and acknowledged upfront with the planners?
No, certainly not. So what happens is you can apply, a developer can apply for a specific build to rent scheme, which has those lower standards, and that's a particular type of a planning application. But what also happens to a large degree is you have other planning applications go in. They aren't necessarily that lower standard of built to rent, but they end up being rental only schemes. And it's not untypical for a developer to promise to a local community that, oh, well, I'm going to be building all these apartments, but there'll be lots of them available for people who want to move out of a family home and all that. And then as soon as they are built or in the process of being built, they're being flipped onto an investment fund on a rental only basis. So there should be an ability for councils, and there isn't at the moment, there should be an ability for councils to stipulate for when apartments are built that a certain percentage of those have to be available for individuals to be able to buy. At the moment, 100% can be produced on a rental basis only. And the councils aren't allowed to do that at the moment by the minister. And we've been arguing very strongly that he should allow councils to do that so we can get mix and give people choice.
Texter, I'm a resident with an institutional landlord. Why shouldn't I be entitled to buy the apartment after a set period of time? My landlord got a great deal to build the complex through NAMA. His rights should have been time limited. Not sure under our constitution you can do things like that, but I mean, often councils do sell to their tenants, but I don't think there's any way one of these institutional landlords would ever do that.
But you could have planning guidelines, all right, saying that you cannot have a 100% rental scheme, and you have that, for example, now you have that with houses and duplexes, but apartments were exempted from that by the government, and I simply don't agree with that, because mixed tenure, giving people different options, it is healthy, and it also means I would be meeting people every week in my constituency who would say that they're in a family-sized home and it would actually suit them to move into an apartment, but there's none in the local area to buy. The ones that have been built have all gone to institutions. Now, not everyone wants to do that. Lots of people don't.
But you can see
some do want to do it.
Some developers, they are offered a big cheque by an institution, in some cases an Irish institution, and they see it's a guarantee. They don't have to go to market. They don't have estate agents' fees for marketing. It's just an easy way to de-risk their project.
Yeah, and I think there is ways that the state can help in terms of financing and de-risking projects as well to get more affordability in. But the key issue here is we actually have a lot of state money being spent on subsidies underpinning high risk, high rent, high return projects. And that's what's happening here. We've more than €1 billion we're spending as a state every year on long-term leases, HAP, rent supplement. And that is underpinning this high rent, built rent model, whereas we should be using the state resources we have to subsidise affordability and build in with affordability, so we're delivering more homes that people can buy or rent at affordable prices.
Yeah, I think as well, as long as the built to rent guidelines are on the books, every developer is going to do what's most profitable. Like we were talking about the student there, the student sizes are absolutely tiny, so you maximise the value of your land by building these compact forms of high-rise development, and as long as that is permitted, that is what is going to be done in the city. We're not going to get homes for homeowners. We're not going to get family homes or any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of student accommodation, I know there was an argument whether we're doing, you know, making them too posh, too luxurious. They don't need it. But the point is that if it's to be built and if the permissions are to be given, it should be affordable. I mean, the idea that you're paying €1,000 a month for a student bed, 400 a month should be the target. And if the developer can't do it for that, well, then tell him to go away.
Yeah, the affordability is the key thing, Pat. And I think this is the point that seems to be missed. Even looking at the Croí Cónaithe scheme, where the state is going to subsidise private developers to build a studio apartment that you can buy for €275,000 for yourself to live in. Like, everybody wants a wall between their bedroom and their living room. Like, nobody wants this stuff. Like, it's not... There's no market for that. Like,
all right, well, we'll see where all of this goes. But housing, as usual, in a mess. I came across a situation where you had an SHD where it went in over 100 units and the board then peeled it back to 70 or something like that. Never went to the council, though. Doesn't have to. Once it goes in over 100, it goes SHD, and then it doesn't need council approval when it's lowered, which is a way around a system, isn't it? Extraordinary.
Yeah, now thankfully those SHDs are coming to an end. But I mean, they've been, and this is, you know, this was again, the developers lobbied for this, promised that there'd be more affordability, more fast track delivery of homes, and actually the opposite happened. We got a lot of delays because the legislation was poorly designed. It led to a lot of court cases, and it's a real example actually of what you shouldn't do, and that's government designing housing policy just listening to that particular. Yeah. And it's not even developers, it's a particular part of home builders, the more speculative ones, actually the people who don't necessarily build homes, but the ones who speculate on land prices. And they shouldn't be allowed to dictate what's happening in terms of housing delivery. Affordability, people's ability to be able to buy, ability to be able to afford to pay rents, that has got to be at the core of decisions that are made.
We leave it there. Cian O'Callaghan, TD for Dublin Bay North, Social Democrat spokesman on housing, and Leash Nealon, City reporter with the Dublin Inquiry.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.